Well, for our devotional thought as we come to the table of the Lord, I want to go to Micah chapter 5 to begin our message. And I'm going to tell you up front, I'm going to give you a couple of things that are going to seem perhaps disjointed at first. But if it works like it does in my mind, it'll all come together in a way that I think will make us appreciate this that we are about to partake of in a few moments. Micah chapter 5. And I begin in verse 2 and read through the first part of verse 5. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore, he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. And then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel. And he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth, the one who will be our peace. Jesus was born, according to Luke, in the city of David. The city of David, even though Jerusalem was the capital that David established himself for the people of Israel, Bethlehem was always associated with him as his city. In this passage in Micah, that city, Bethlehem, is cited as the place where there will come one who will be, like David, a shepherd and a king. The city of David was the city of the great shepherd king. David was both of those. And that's kind of an odd designation, because Saul didn't have that designation. And Solomon after David didn't. And the other kings of both Israel and Judah during the days of the divided kingdom were never thought of in terms of being shepherds and kings. But David was. David was a shepherd first and then became a king. A ruler, a shepherd, who will be king to the ends of the earth, will come from the city of David, named Bethlehem Ephrathah. Bethlehem Ephrathah. The name means something. We have cities that have meaningful names. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Bethlehem means the house, Beth. Lehem, bread. The name means the house of bread. Bethlehem means house of bread. Evidently, there was a bakery there. Somebody made bread there. Somebody maybe made such a bread that it became famous, and they called that. That's the house of bread. It is the origination of loaves of bread. It's the place where you go to find the staff of life. Bread has that idiomatic designation. The staff of life. Hard for us to think of that in our culture today, when we're trying to stay away from all the breads and the gluten and all the things that go with that. Hard to imagine, but at one time, bread was the staff of life, the thing upon which one rested his or her life. And it's interesting how that bread is made. The Bible even talks about it. Jesus himself talks about the fact that our death and resurrection is similar to the manufacturing of bread. that the grain of wheat falls to the earth and then it brings forth. Bread is a result of the grinding of that wheat and blowing away the chaff or the shell of that, and then grinding that wheat into a fine flour, and by adding water or olive oil or other ingredients, it becomes bread. The idea of being crushed in order to become the staff of life is a very appropriate picture of what Jesus himself would do. The house of bread, Bethlehem, Ephrathah. The word Ephrathah means fruitful in the Hebrew tongue. Bethlehem, Ephrathah, the house of bread, fruitful. In other words, productive. And it's interesting that that is said just before the statement, considered to be too small to be counted among the cities of Israel. Most people would not have known Bethlehem, at least not before David was there. I'm sure after David was there, Israelites would make journeys to Bethlehem and pick up postcards and mail them back home. I'm in Bethlehem. Wish you were here. The bread's really good. But it was a very small city. We know more about Bethlehem today in the world than the people of Israel would have known about Bethlehem in its own day. And the point that's being made here is that this small city, insignificant in other ways, will become a renowned house of bread. From you shall go forth one whose days are from eternity. This is Bethlehem. I'm sure the people of Bethlehem, when they heard Micah say this, thought, us? There's no way. We're a nothing city. We're very small. How could we possibly be that? And yet today, that is certainly true. How the world views this humble town. All right, now stay with me. A couple more points, and then we'll bring this together. Just really interesting to me. The Bible oftentimes repeats things for emphasis, and sometimes it does that in such a subtle way we don't even pick up on it. Most of us know that Jesus was born in a stable, but that is only mentioned infrequently in the gospel accounts. What is mentioned repeatedly three times in Luke's account, in chapter 2 of Luke, verse 7, verse 12, and verse 16, what is mentioned repeatedly is this. He was laid in a manger. And they laid him in a manger. And the shepherds are told, when you go to the city, this is the sign. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Three times in that brief account, Luke wants you to know where Jesus was born. Not the stable, though the stable is there, but that he was laid in a manger. Now think, what is a manger? The New American Standard translates that and actually has a footnote saying feeding trough. A feeding trough for what? Cattle, perhaps sheep. And what do they eat? Grain. Oats. Wheat. The stuff of bread. The grains that the animals eat are where the seed of God's salvation will be laid. Bread. Born in the house of bread. Laid in a manger where grains are found. The germ of life is here. The germ of spiritual life is here in this manger, lying in a manger. And I give you one more point. It is interesting to me that in John chapter 6, and I do invite you to turn there with me now. John chapter 6. That Jesus seems really intent on making a point about what he is. He will call himself living water and water of life, and he'll call himself the door, and he'll call himself the way. He'll refer to himself as the vine. But in John chapter 6, his sermon is built around the fact that he is bread. Verse 33. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. The staff of life is coming down from heaven. Verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. Four times there, Jesus makes it very clear. Here's what I am. Bread. And where'd you come from, Jesus? Bethlehem. The house of bread. And where were you laid when you were born? In a manger, a receptacle for the essence of bread. And then in Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. Fruitful bread. Bethlehem produced fruitful results. What is it? I'm looking at it today. People who, because they have eaten the bread of life, have life eternal. Fruitful bread. As we partake this morning of this bread of the table of the Lord, let us remember our King. It's not David. It's King Jesus. Let us remember our beginnings, the fruitfulness that brought us to this point, and let us remember our sustenance. We exist with the staff of life that gives us eternal life. That's the bread I'll be partaking of this morning with the saints of all the ages, as they have done so and do so today, celebrate the bread of life. Let's do that now.